This is an I Am Listening original podcast.
I was also speaking to them about schools because clearly we know it's not just university students. There are some year 13 children, including Rose Aladon, who died, but others who are worried whether they might be at risk. So the UK Health Security Agency is briefing schools, and I've been pushing them to give more information for parents about what to do if they're worried that their child is a contact.
Welcome to the Kent Politics Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Kent Politics Podcast. I'm Daniel Wesson, one of the local democracy reporters here at Kent Online, and I'm standing in for the regular host, senior editor Nikki White, who's away this week. This week, I'll be taking you through the political response to the East Kent meningitis outbreak, some surprising personnel churn in the high levels of local healthcare in Medway and North Kent, fears about the impact of the new war in the Middle East might have on local councils, and the latest in plans for more than 20,000 homes in East Kent. So as you will have seen, Kent has been leading national news agenda this week, but not because of politics, but because of an outbreak of meningitis in Canterbury and surrounding parts of the county. The incident was made public earlier this week, though it's thought that the illness mainly spread through three nights at the nightclub Chemistry earlier this month, and is mainly affecting young people and students. The event has tragically claimed the lives of two so far, a 21-year-old university student and an 18-year-old school pupil from Faversham. Naturally, there's a massive public health response with targeted vaccinations underway and hundreds queuing up for prophylactic antibiotics on the uni campus in recent days. KMFM spoke to Faversham MP Helen Whateley earlier this week about the outbreak.
Yes, I have had a briefing this morning from Susan Hopkins, who's the chief executive of the UK Health Security Agency, that they are leading the response to this outbreak. So they have been busy over the weekend, particularly in Canterbury, the University of Kent, where you've got, I guess, the epicentre of the outbreak and students affected. They've been doing things like contact tracing and giving antibiotics, sort of prophylactic antibiotics in advance to students who might be at risk. So that's been going on there. I was also speaking to them about schools because clearly we know it's not just university students. There are some year 13 children, including Rose Aladon, who died, but others who are worried whether they might be at risk. So the UK Health Security Agency is briefing schools, and I've been pushing them to give more information for parents about what to do if they're worried that they're child of the contact, and they tell me they're going to put out some public advice later today for parents in that situation.
In more political news, the war has come home, as they say, with the American-Israeli war against Iran now becoming a topic of concern in County Hall in Maidstone, of all places. Needless to say, the fear is mainly about increases to oil and energy prices and subsequent inflation that it might cause. Kent County Council's annual energy bill is nearly 9 million quid, with about 4 million of that going towards street lighting. Adult social care, which already costs a fortune as it is in the hands of providers who have to pay for heating 24 hours a day to keep their premises going. The opposition leader, Liberal Democrat Anthony Hook, raised the issue this week, expressing concern that KCC is heavily exposed to this economic shock. He acknowledged that the council has an advanced purchasing process called LASER, which will help them mitigate short-term effects, but he's concerned about the longer term. Clearly, it's something that in the end could affect basically every public body in the county, not least the NHS and schools. So Councillor Hook has called for a clear explanation as to how the council would cope with rising inflation and changes to interest rates. The Tory group leader, Councillor Harry Rayner, also warned that overspends in areas such as adult social care could be, quote, replicated on steroids, end quote, if in the months ahead if fuel supplies are squeezed by the war. Councillor Hook asks, quote, I'm asking the reform UK cabinet who control the council to be entirely transparent. What plans do they have to respond to these financial challenges as part of ensuring sustainable delivery of the council's responsibilities? We need a clear analysis of how extra energy costs for KCC will be dealt with and how this can be met within next year's budget. Councillor Rayner has been privately warning about the possibility of consequences as international tensions mounted since before the war started, has asked what happens when oil prices start to increase, and he pressed the council looking for their fallback position in the event they end up really squeezed by this. So obviously this will be one to watch in the coming months. There was a surprise for Medway, Dartford and Gravesham this week as the CEO of Dartford and Gravesham NHS Foundation Trust, which runs Darrant Valley Hospital, and also the interim CEO of Medway NHS Foundation Trust, which runs Medway Maritime Hospital, very abruptly resigned. Jonathan Wade's been the CEO of Dartford and Gravesham since 2022, and he became the interim CEO of Medway back in March 2025. He was meant to address staff at Barron Valley Hospital as part of a meeting about financial strains and possible measures required. But 90 minutes before the meeting was meant to start, it was suddenly announced that he would be stepping down. He was due to be leaving this post as interim CEO of Medways Trust at the end of March anyway, but he was supposed to continue on for Dartford and Gravesham thereafter. He's also been due to speak at Medway Council Health and Adult Social Care Committee on the night prior to his resignation to discuss proposals for a grouping of the two trusts he was in charge of, but he didn't attend that one. The reason given was that since joining Dartford and Gravesham in 2020, he has spent time away from his family in Norfolk and was so leaving to be closer to them. He said it was a privilege to have worked with dedicated colleagues and he was proud of what had been achieved in his time. And the Trust Chair Jackie Crisetti said he made a lasting contribution to the Trust. However, in Medway, this will mean the fifth CEO of the hospital since 2020, and the council's deputy leader and portfolio holder for health, Theresa Murray, said that despite the surprise and disappointment at the news, the authority would be ensuring Medway Hospital gets the attention it deserves and the fixes to long-term challenges it faces. The six MPs covering the area are attempting to arrange a meeting with Health Secretary Wes Streeting to make sure the two trusts get the focus they need to solve their problems, but one imagines Wes Streeting probably has other things in his hands at the moment.
Is there a topic that you would like to be discussed on the Kent Politics Podcast? Perhaps you've got a question for one of our panel, or you'd like to comment on a hot topic in local or national government. Get in touch by emailing or sending a voice note to kentpoliticspodcast@thekmgroup.co.uk.
So on the district council front, I've yet again been up to my eyes in local plans, you'll be happy to hear. This week, Canterbury City Council voted to send out its local plan document for a final public consultation and to submit it to the judgment of a government planning inspector thereafter. So all councils have to have local plans, and Canterbury's local plan process has been rumbling on for almost 3 years now, when the current Labour Lib Dem cabinet took over in 2023. The Tories have been in the middle of their local plan process themselves. The previous Tory local plan had included a very controversial traffic zoning system, which would have split the city into zones and regulated how frequently people could drive between them without incurring a fine. This new plan doesn't include any of that, but it does include the sites for 23,000 homes to be built in districts up until 2043. Councils legally need to have these plans to prove they're hitting government housing targets, or else they're at risk of having to approve what they call opportunistic planning applications coming up where they don't necessarily want them. However, this argument didn't get much truck at the from objectors or other councillors at the meeting I attended, though. Many councillors were critical of it, saying that they wouldn't actually give the council any more control over development because a stall in house building in recent years due to environmental problems means that they're well away from hitting targets anyway, and therefore developers are still going to attempt to put in speculative planning applications. Regardless, after a marathon back-to-back cabinet and then full council meeting of just over 3 hours, council voted to send the plan out for consultation. Officially, all these things are non-political, but the vote was extremely split on party lines, with the Labour-Lib Dem coalition voting in favour and pretty much everyone else voting against. In any event, it will now go to one final consultation assessing whether the plan is sound and legally compliant. After that consultation ends, it will go before a government-appointed planning inspector who will hold an inquiry in Canterbury later this year before it becomes official council policy. All right, that's it for this week. Next week, we'll be back with a bumper episode chock full of news, debates and special guests. Until then, don't forget you can keep up to date with politics in Kent at Kent Online. You can also sign up to our weekly politics briefing newsletter at kentonline.co.uk/newsletters. And don't miss KMTV's politics show every Friday at 5pm. Thanks again for joining us.
Thanks for listening to the Kent Politics Podcast. Don't forget to check out stories throughout the week on the politics page of Kent Online. And you can watch the Kent Politics Show on KMTV every Friday at 5pm or on demand at kmtv.co.uk.
This has been an I Am Listening original podcast. For more information, head over to our website, im-listening.co.uk.